Deplorable Nation, a podcast where your voices can be heard, where things that affect you and your family are important, because it's important to all of us. Every one of us matters and everybody has a voice. We're going to be bringing you news, current events, and throw in a lot of humor. And then you decide for yourself. Hello and welcome 2021 to a new year and also a new you. Hopefully you've learned some things this previous year. So today, welcome back to Deplorable Nation, episode number 27. It's called Beautiful Miracle. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet, and today I brought on a very special guest that I found in our 4Deep Discord chat. And when she reached out to me, I will tell you that her message touched me on a level that I cannot even explain to you. And this was a exchange that we had after she listened to the latest podcast with V. Lynn talking about her and mixed life. So today I have her with us and I'm honored that she's here to tell her story because it's a crazy one. So welcome everybody, Miss Tara. How are you doing today?
I am doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And I'm so happy that you're here with me today because when you reached out, I was like, oh, you definitely have to come on the show because you have a story all of your own that you have to share with everybody. And like I said, when I read it, it hit me on another level. And so, thank you for agreeing to come on and talk about it.
Yeah. Thank you for asking me. I was pretty excited. Anytime I have a chance to kind of share my story, I like to do so.
Well, I'm honored that you chose to do so here with me today. So, Tara, tell the listeners, give them a little history on you.
Well, I am a mom. I'm married. And a couple of years ago, my husband had to go away for 2 weeks to finish up a training. And he was in a warrant officer candidate school for the National Guard. And that sounds like something crazy exciting. I mean, it's a big deal. There are a handful of people that complete the program every year. So that it is a big deal, but it's not anything that actually has to do with warrants or anything fancy. It's just a specific skill set. And he is, sorry, my kid just walked in. He is, he's a property book officer. So he is, just more specialized in his field. Give me just 1 second. I'm so sorry. Let me mute this real quick.
That's okay. And so she's going to get really in depth and in detail about what we're going to talk about coming up. But when she told me her story and also that her other half was in the military, I thought, absolutely, you definitely have to come on, number one, for you, and number two, because I'm a huge supporter of the military, and anybody out there that has injuries or struggling with PTSD, anything like that, know that you are never left behind, and you're never forgotten, because I'm always here if anybody wants to get their story out about anything. Not just military wise, but literally anything. So anyway, go ahead, Miss Tara.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
So he was at the end of this training. It had been 6 months. It started the weekend after our son was born. And so it was kind of a crazy 6 months for us. And he was able to come home for dinner that night because we live so close to Camp Atterbury, where he was doing the training.
Mm-hmm.
So he came home for dinner and, you know, surprised the kids, and we left the house, and we were stopped at the stoplight right in front of our neighborhood, less than half a mile away from our house, and we were rear-ended. So we were just sitting at the light. I don't remember any of this. I do know that the man that hit us, we were in a Ford Fusion, and he was in an F-150, and he did not slow down or make any attempts to stop. He hit us going, he said he was going 52, but our car was thrown 250 feet from the light and down into the ditch on the side of the road.
So your husband was in the car, your kids were in the car too?
No, it was just me and my husband.
Goodness sakes. So when was this? What year did this happen?
This was September of 2018.
Okay. So the person was obviously not paying attention and didn't even attempt to brake, which those are fun accidents. Been there, done that, but not anywhere to the level that what happened to you. So what injuries did you sustain?
I sustained a traumatic brain injury and a spinal cord injury.
So with the traumatic brain injury, can you tell people a little bit about what that is or what happens?
So usually there's some sort of swelling or bleeding to your brain, from what I understand. I had bleeding at the front of my brain and then also the back of my brain, so my occipital lobe, on both sides, actually, left and right.
So did you lose consciousness?
Yes.
I figured you probably must have to have everything that you had.
Mm-hmm.
So with that traumatic brain injury, because we're going to get into the other stuff in mm-hmm. big detail here in just a minute. But with the traumatic injury to your brain, do you have any lasting complications from that, like headaches, memory impairment, sleeping issues, balance problems, anything like that?
Yeah, pretty much all of the things that you said. I do have some sleeping issues that I'm not sure if it's just the brain injury or also with the spinal cord injury because of the nerve damage.
Right.
I have balance issues.
Are you dizzy a lot?
Not anymore. No, I did get treated for vertigo. Anytime I would lay down, the whole room would spin.
Right. And that's a whole issue on its own, like for anybody that's ever experienced that before. And it makes you so ungodly woozy because like you're laying still, but it's like everything around you is rotating so fast.
Yes.
Did you ever experience where it would stop and then reverse and spin the other way?
Yes.
That's a lovely feeling, isn't it?
It's so weird. It's
like the worst ride you could ever imagine in your life.
Yes. And I've never been a thrill seeker or a ride person. And it's almost like whenever you are in college and you get just super drunk and you have to put one foot on the floor or mm-hmm. a hand on the wall to slow everything down, mm-hmm. but it doesn't slow down.
Right. And it's crazy. So do you have the headaches and how bad are they?
I do get headaches. Those are, the severity kind of ranges. It depends on what else I'm dealing with during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it depends on where it is too. So sometimes it's more of a tension headache, and then other times it's just at the front of my forehead almost.
Do you have problems with your vision?
I did. I actually had, now I can't remember the actual term, but I had double vision.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. My left eye sort of turned in. My mom said that right after the accident, my like the iris of my eye was all the way inside the corner of my eye. It did turn back out, but I had to have surgery to correct the muscle, to correct the double vision.
Right. And that's a thing because, you know, with all the cranial nerves and stuff that you have, mm-hmm. and with the traumatic brain injury, it literally affects so many things. And, you know, not just the things that we mentioned, but also like the muscles in your face, the muscles in your eyes, being able to focus, being able to blink, raise your eyebrows, frown, smile, yeah. laugh, you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So outside of the brain injury, what else happened to you?
Well, I broke 3 vertebrae, two in my neck and one at the very top of my back. So my C1, which is the very first vertebrae in your spine, my C7 was fractured, and then my T1 kind of split diagonally.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm.
That was sarcastic for all of you listening.
It was great.
So, for people that don't know or aren't that versed in, you know, the anatomy of the body and stuff, C1 is really important because it is what attaches your skull to your spinal column. And it is like, basically like the pivot point. And what it does, it allows you to have that range of motion where you can nod, you can raise your head up and down, turn it side to side, whatnot. When you fracture or break your C1 vertebrae, it is the most severe and most fatal out of any vertebrae in your spinal column that you can actually have that happen to. It only makes up about 1-2% of spinal injuries. However, like I said, it's almost always a fatal injury or a paralyzing injury.
Yes.
And it affects like all of your motor skills, your sensory impairment throughout the body. And so it's also connected to your ability to speak, your arms, your legs, your breathing, your sense of taste, smell, hearing, you name it. This is in charge of literally everything, every nerve that you could think of throughout your body. That's why it's so awful of a fracture. And so, you know, each one of the spinal nerves can, you know, corresponds to a different area. But the C1 is so important because usually you know, like C7, it would be like the nerves above that is, you know, what that area controls. But if you think of C1, it is the first one. So that's your brain. Yep. So that is your, it affects your brain's ability to tell the whole entire rest of your body how to function and what to do. So when you had that, what is that type of fracture called that you had?
It is an atlanto-occipital dislocation.
And so what's that mean?
So your C1 is also called the atlas.
Mm-hmm.
And the base of your skull is your occiput.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever those two dislocate, there's also there's also like ligamentous injury and strain with that, because all of that is what holds your head on. So they also call it an internal decapitation.
Mm-hmm. I was just gonna say that.
Yeah.
Internal decapitation. So think about that, people. Or also called an orthopedic decapitation. That means that your skull separates from your spinal column and your vertebrae. So
it's no big deal.
No big deal at all. And you know the thing about this particular injury and why I called today Beautiful Miracle? Thinking back to what we just said, decapitation, okay, and how it affects like the whole entire body where you fractured at. And being that it's the most severe, I want people to understand how severe this is. Only 30% of cases, which keep in mind, I said this only makes up 1-2% of spinal injuries, only 30% of those ever survive the first 24 hours.
Yep.
It's almost always fatal. Almost always. And so for you to even be here today is a miracle in itself and such a blessing. And that's why when she told me about her story, I'm like, you definitely have to come on. Now, when the accident happened, hopefully you live somewhere near a trauma center.
Fairly close, yes.
That's good. And so what happened? What did they tell your family you would be like if you ever lived through the night?
So they said that I would likely be require a tracheotomy and be on a respirator for the remainder of my life, and I would not be able to have any control or function of movements or anything below my neck, and that I would likely live the rest of my life in a nursing home.
So basically they were telling you that you were going to be a quadriplegic,
mm-hmm,
and pretty much a vegetable, because they had to breathe for you and you'd require round the clock care.
Pretty much, yes.
So we didn't talk about this beforehand, but I have to ask,
mm-hmm,
is your family religious? Did they pray a lot?
Half of them are and half of them aren't super religious, but there was a lot of praying happening, even from the people that didn't believe beforehand.
Right. And it is amazing that you are here. And I wish there was a way for me to like let people see the photos and stuff,
mm-hmm,
that you sent to me. prior to the accident and then the car and all of that stuff so that people could get a full picture of this. Like the entire rear end of that car was gone.
Yeah, the back seat was up against the front seats.
So did it throw either one of you out of the car?
No.
And did he sustain any injuries at all?
He had a concussion. He has a mild TBI.
I gotcha.
He also, actually, he did also have a teardrop fracture of his T2, but right. He just needed, he was released the next day, but he was on 6 weeks of lifting restrictions, so no more than 10 pounds. So he couldn't even pick up our son.
So how long were you in the hospital?
I was hospitalized for a total of 6 weeks.
So how long, I'm assuming you were probably in a medically induced coma so that you couldn't like move or anything like that at once they finally did a surgery?
Yeah, that was for a few days. I think I want to say like 4 or 5 days.
So what was their first course of treatment, or were your injuries so severe, like when you got there, that they basically had to stabilize you first before they could go in and do a surgery?
They stabilized me first. They did intubate me to protect my airway and all of that. I got to the hospital around, I want to say 9 Friday night, and my surgery was Saturday morning.
Gotcha. So thankfully they didn't wait real long. Right. Now tell everybody what they had to do to fix the decapitation.
So they had to do 2 fusions. So they took titanium plates and rods and screws and all that, and they had to attach a plate to the base of my skull, and then they reattached my skull to my spine using those rods and screws.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have the lower fusion that helped correct the large fracture on my T1.
So the one in your neck, did they also use diagonal sections outside of the rods and the pins? Because a lot of times they'll do that in when there's a fracture in that area, just to give it like that extra like stabilization.
That's a good question, but I have no idea. To be completely honest, I'm not sure about that.
So when they fuse in that area, mm-hmm. what do they tell you you're never going to be able to do?
Move my head left to right, look up and down. Those two are the main things, but then there are certain activities that you can't really do. So, you know, roller coasters or anything at high speeds are pretty
right
frowned upon
now. Right, because you can get a whiplash injury. So how was it having the fusion? Did they do the 2 fusions at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. And so being that you know, the fusion at the T1 level, and people that don't understand, fusion means that they basically take metal plates and screws, or sometimes rods in her case, and they fuse it, or like put it to another vertebrae so that it's stabilized and you have very, very limited mobility in that area. So how is that with you, since that's at the top, like at your shoulder area, mm-hmm. how is that for you trying to lift things or move your shoulders like normal?
It's definitely limited. Whenever I raise my arms up over my head, I cannot hold them straight up.
Right.
And as far
as do they get numb?
Yeah. And then I get numbness like in my elbow or in my ring and pinky fingers.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's because of that nerve.
Yep.
So how many surgeries total did you have?
For my spine, I just had the one.
And what about anything else that they did to correct stuff?
I also had that eye muscle repair surgery. So just the two.
So you, young lady, are excessively lucky. And like I said, an absolute beautiful miracle, in my opinion, because she sustained so many injuries just by somebody else's negligence and not paying attention. So what did they, since you were told you were never going to walk again, you're never going to be able to breathe again, never going to use your arms and your legs and all of that stuff, what was it that got you through to where you can be who you are today?
I would say big part of it was definitely just my faith. I just knew that if I had survived this, that God wasn't just gonna keep me here to not be able to make a difference in some way or do right. something.
100%.
And I mean, the first conversation I remember having was with my mom, and I asked her if I was internally decapitated because I had heard somebody say it, and you know, she said, yeah. And I started crying because I know the severity of that and what it can mean.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought I was crying because I was scared. And I, you know, I told her, no, I'm crying because I'm alive and because God chose me for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked her, do they think I'm going to walk again? And she said, they think no, but I think you are. And I just looked at her and I said, I'm going to walk again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this. And I just kept that stubborn determination of, no, I'm going to do it. And also my gut, just, I knew in my gut that I was going to do more again.
So do you remember, like the things that went through your head? I mean, did you have that period where you were terrified things weren't going to work out, or you just know from the get-go that you were going to put your willpower in and overcome this?
I had moments where I was defeated because it was so hard and because I didn't understand why my body wasn't listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really, that I can remember at least, I never thought, okay, well, this is what this is.
No. So did you have to, like, I'm assuming that you probably went through massive physical therapy.
Yes.
And stuff to try to teach your limbs basically how to function again.
Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to swallow again and how to eat. I was on a thick liquid diet and puree food diet for a while.
That's lovely too.
Yeah. There's nothing like ordering a grilled cheese for dinner and receiving a pureed grilled cheese that they put back into the form of a sandwich.
Right.
To make it look normal.
Yeah. And the gross thing is they add this stuff called thickener in a lot of places.
Oh, yes.
And it is nasty. And she's not kidding. No. They will make you a grilled cheese sandwich. They literally blend it up and then they add thickener to it. So it's sort of textured like food, although not not as thick. And it's like you're having, it's like a grilled cheese shake.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. So was there ever a time that they had you like on the tube feeding?
I had an NG tube.
Yeah. And those are pleasant.
It was weird. The worst part, I don't remember them putting it in. So that's great. But I do remember when they took it out. It felt weird, but it smelled like the smell.
Oh yeah. Worse. Yeah.
I didn't anticipate that.
Yeah. And for people that don't know, an NG tube is a nasogastric tube. And so they will feed that down through your nose into your stomach. And that's how they feed you. Sometimes you can get a feeding tube just in your stomach, but an NG tube actually goes down that route. And so when they pull it out, yes, you do smell it because you're smelling all of the stomach juices and the enzymes and the bile and all of that.
It is
bad.
Yeah.
It is very bad.
It's a little sour.
Yeah.
I'll give you that description.
Like really soured milk.
Yes. Well, and there was a port on it where they were able to give me my medicine through it since I couldn't swallow.
Right.
And they would like crush down the pills and mix it in hot or cold water and then inject it in there. So I could always feel it like in my throat. It was strange.
Yeah. And those a lot of people when they take medications, like some of them have such a foul taste, like even mm-hmm. soon as you put it in your mouth, they immediately start to dissolve or whatever. And a lot of them have a really funky taste.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that and imagine like, you know, all of the gastric juices and stuff, plus any residual medications and all of that all coming out where you can literally taste every bit of it and smell it. You know, like people always say, it tastes like blah, blah, blah. Even though they may have never had that, it's just that, you know, sense of smell, taste, pairing that people get. Yeah. So if people can imagine that, it is very unpleasant. So when was it that, like, how long before you were actually able to start like eating normal food or eating on your own?
Eating normal food, that was, I want to say like 4.5 or 5 weeks after the accident.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get cleared for thin liquids that weren't water until two or three days before I went home.
Right.
So anything that any drink they gave me had the thickener in it already.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they would, when I ordered a Sprite, that I would just get the Sprite and do like small, tiny, slow sips, but they gave it to me thickened. So it was kind of like Sprite slime. or
Sprite concrete mix.
Yeah. I was so mad. And I just remember my mom has always, she's heard me swear. She swears too, you know, but with all of the medication and whatnot, my filter was gone.
Yeah.
Yep. When I was still in the hospital, I ordered pears and peaches. And they were like, okay, it's going to be pureed. And I said, that's fine. I expected to get like baby food almost, you know.
Right.
I was okay with that. Then the tray comes in and they lift up the lid and it was formed into the shape of half a pear and half a peach. And I remember looking at it and I looked at my mom and I said, what the fuck is this shit? And the like person was still in the room too that had brought the tray in, and they like had to turn around and leave because they were laughing.
That exactly.
But she was like, "You wanted peaches and pears," and I was like, "Yeah, I thought I was gonna get puree. Like, they're trying to trick me into thinking I'm eating real food.
And exactly.
I'm not stupid. Like." Just give it that's, in a bowl.
That's a psychological manipulation right there. If yeah. I have ever heard that, I would be like, yeah, no, you can eat that.
Yeah, I was like, well, I don't want it now. And she was like, you have to eat something. And I was like, somebody can somebody get me a smoothie?
Exactly. Please, so I'd rather went, have that.
And I got me a smoothie.
It's absolutely crazy. So... How hard was the physical therapy?
It was intense. I have never worked so hard in my life. And I was an avid CrossFitter before the accident. So I was pretty fit. And I mean, I didn't have, you know, the abs or anything like that. I'd also just had a baby, but like, I was pretty active and I was used to working hard for what I wanted.
Right.
And I never cried during therapy. I'm one of those. If I cry, I do not want anyone to see it. I'm going to do it by myself. Do not talk to me. But there were many nights that I cried afterwards because I knew it was worth it, but it was so intensive and so hard.
Right. And that's the thing, like with your story, it's not just the arms and the legs and teaching them and all of your muscle groups, like how to function again. Like she said, it's the feeding yourself, it's the speaking, it's the breathing, it's literally everything when you have not just the traumatic brain injury, but couple that on top of, you know, the fractures and the occipital dislocation and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And it's like your whole body goes into, like, I don't remember anything I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like your nerves don't know what they're doing and the muscles don't know what they're doing and like nothing works properly. So you had to retrain your entire body.
Yes.
To learn how to be a body again.
Yeah. I compare it to, you know, I went back to fetal development with everything. Just because like my body didn't know when to go to the bathroom or when not to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
And, let me on the bathroom front, let's have a funny gross story.
I like funny gross stories. Hit me.
I have several, but so the first one, one of my coworkers came to see me, and he actually came the night of the accident. He's a pastor at our church now, but he's the one who helped me get hired on at the job and all that. And so he came to see me again, after the surgery and all of that. And my mother-in-law was in the room with me and they were like, oh, Brent is coming up to see you. And I just kind of like, uh-huh, because I was still intubated. And I'm laying there and I pooped. Just laying in the bed, I pooped. And I was like, my eyes got huge. And my mother-in-law was like, what's wrong? And I was like, trying to like point my, like trying to move to tell her I just shit my pants. And she's like, what's going on? Your eyes are huge. You look scared. And I was like, I just kept looking down. And then she was like, and then I smelled it. And
I was going to say, and then I smelled it.
And then I smelled it. And she was like, oh my gosh, Brent's coming up and you just pooped. And I was like, in my head, I remember yelling, yes, don't let him come in here. Like, I just crap my pants, please. And then when I was in rehab, so they have to, so you can get, like, get sat on. They have the special, like, toilet chair. Right. But you can go in the toilet. Because I had some control at this point. That was a big thing for me was I was worried I was going to have to be in diapers forever.
Right.
Or right. Have to have, you know, like a colostomy bag, which I would have gone that route if that was the case. Because right. It's so much easier. But I was on the toilet and they were like, you have to let us know when you're done because we have to stem you. And I said, what does that mean?
You're going to do what to me?
I was like, what do you mean stemming? They're like, oh, just digital stem. And I was like you have to digit what? And then I was like, wait, your fingers are your digits.
Exactly. What are you putting on my butt?
And so my nurse, after I pooped, she was a large woman, like just tall.
Big fingers.
Tall, built. Her fingers were as big as my husband's. And she stuck her finger up my butt and I flew up off that toilet. And they were like, did you just do that yourself? And I was like, I felt everything you did. Cause she was like, you're not going to feel everything with your injury. Like you don't have feeling in your butt. And I was like, woman, I'm telling you, I've got feeling in my butt. And then she stuck her finger in my butt and I flew up. And I was that day when my husband got there, I said, hey, honey. And he was like, yeah. And I said, I'm no longer curious about butt stuff. Never, never. And he was like, what?
Just totally fix that right out of me.
Yeah. I was like, I have no curiosity. I just have my butt fingered and I'm good. I don't need to know anymore. And he was just like, all right, that's noted.
I can't stop laughing. But you know what? Like, you have to have humor in things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And honest to God, like, humor, serious to God, makes you heal.
Yes.
And I've told a lot of people this story, but I've never told it, like, on the podcast. But I had a major fusion done in my lumbar spine. Like, the whole thing is fused. I cannot bend worth a shit. It's like a chore putting on my socks or shoes or, like, you think small things like cutting your toenails, painting your toenails, anything like that. Yeah, I can't bend.
I understand.
And so
I can't do that either.
Yeah. And it's awful because, like, I was in the hospital for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home and it's like, you can only log roll in bed, which means you have to move all in one movement. You can't, like, bend, twist. So, hello, you can't bend or twist. And so you can't wipe your own butt because when you go to do that, you have to twist.
Yep.
You can't do that. And so when I first came home from the hospital, I couldn't wipe my butt. And you know, first being on all kinds of pain meds, I was like chewing like fiber chews and stuff all the time because pain meds stop you up and I couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And so in between my parents and people that I worked with, they were taking shifts coming over and staying with me. And I was never so embarrassed to be like, you know, hobbling in the bathroom on my walker, sitting on my raised toilet seat, taking a poop, and then I can't wipe. And I'm like, hey, Jody,
I'm done.
Like, yeah, like my best friend from work, hey, can you come and wipe my butt now? Because I can't wipe my butt. It is like the worst. It's the worst.
It's so, yeah.
Yeah, or like you said, or even like giving birth, like it's normal for people to poop right. while giving birth. And you're like, I had that. And I'm like, I just shit. And they're like, no, you didn't. I'm like, yes, I did. I felt it fly out my butt. And they're like, no, no, you didn't. Acting like it's normal. And I'm like, yeah. I can smell it. I know I pooped. I like, no, but that's fine. The muscles they have to yeah. use. And when you have like a brain injury, it causes like a lot of times what's called a neurogenic bowel or bladder. And yep. so you have no control over when you go, you don't know when you're going. Like it comes when you don't even feel it, you know, stuff like that. And maybe that's what's wrong with me as an adult. Cause you know, I have pooped my pants before.
Yeah. Well, and even like when you get some control back, I still have a neurogenic bladder and bowel because right. you can be fine 1 second and be like, I need to go now.
Now. Yep, now.
And I've gotten to the point where for the most part, I can like, if I stop and breathe and tell myself we're going to make it, no need to worry. Because the more stressed I get, the more likely it's going to happen where it's not supposed right. to happen. But you also can like go to the bathroom and think you've emptied your bladder and then have to go again 2 minutes like, later.
Hey, because yeah.
There's
and that's a, in there. That's a trauma thing. And it honestly is. And I can relate to this like so much because I was in several different car accidents and stuff outside of having the back surgery and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've been through so many different that it's like people are like, Jesus Christ, you just peed. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like right. I could pee and I could pee 2 seconds later and just keep peeing like all the time.
Yeah.
Like it's a thing. Yeah. And you know.
Well, and the same or, thing, like you think you gotta go and you gotta go right now and then nothing happens and you sit on the toilet for like 20 minutes and people are like, are you okay? Like you're getting text messages and you're like, yep, I'm just waiting for it to happen.
So I'm in here reading a book.
Yep. Just, I do most of my researching on this stuff while I'm on the toilet, you know, like.
That's when I do my best work.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's just interesting. And you really do have to have a good sense of humor because, I mean, what else are you going to do? This is what right. this is what the situation is. You just got to kind of embrace and be like, got to go to the bathroom. I just shit my pants.
Right. And exactly.
I'll just tell my husband that right out sometimes. And he's like, all right, let me know if you need anything. I'll keep the kids out here.
I know. My husband is so used to like me telling him crazy stuff like that. And he's like, but, and people used to make fun of me, for, you know, like you think you have to fart, but then it's not.
Oh yeah. And, it's never a fart.
Yeah. Whatever. And he's like, we were sitting outside last night and I was like, I don't know if I have to poop or fart. And he's like, well, don't chance it. And I'm like, yep. Well, come over here close to me. It's just the humor. I mean, you have to have humor. And it's like, that's how you get through your normal everyday about, you know, all the crap your body goes through and all the crazy things and whatever. But while you were doing that, did they have you on like a bunch of pain meds too, I'm assuming?
I was on all kinds of stuff. At the very beginning, I was on fentanyl.
Oh, yeah, sugar.
But that was done before I was out of the main hospital, so that's good. But I was on Norco for pain, and then I was on gabapentin for nerve pain, because nerve pain and like joint and physical pain are two very different beast.
Yeah, very.
And then I was on, I don't even know what else I was on. They had me on Valium at night, I think. Was it Valium? Yeah.
Probably.
I think so, because at night I would get my Valium and then the pain meds, and then about 10 minutes later I was done. But yeah, I was on several different things, and then I was also on a saline like IV at night too, because when the accident happened and I first went to rehab, I was still breastfeeding my son.
Wow.
So my goal, I was like, I still want to be able to produce and at least pump. And at the beginning, we couldn't use like the milk because of fentanyl and stuff. But right. My mom would, even me being just unconscious in the bed, she would pump me so that, because she knew how important it was for me to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. And I even had like an additional break built into my schedule at the rehab hospital so that I could pump.
Right.
But it just got to be too much. I told her, you know, I can't do this anymore physically. This is a lot. Like, my body is working extra hard to do everything else and to try and heal. And then it's also working double on top of that to make and continue producing breast milk. And I just cannot do this.
Right.
And I had some guilt over that because, you know, I had goals and I wanted to do this. And I know that fed is best. My first, you know, my daughter was formula. And I have no judgments against it at all. I just knew it's what I wanted to do. And I felt bad. And I also felt bad because I was like, I'm not home. I'm not taking care of him. This was what I was doing for him.
Right.
I can't even do that. But even, you know, I got over that pretty quickly, I guess, because I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about doing all of this now. I can just go rest.
And you know, that of itself is a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. Because, oh my God, like keeping them empty all the time and stuff. Because if they get engorged, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is awful. It's like a Mack truck is trying to drive through your boob out your nipple.
Right.
And park somewhere. And you know, and just the constant, like having to do that. And like if they're too full and you know, bend or move or whatever, and then they're like leaking all over the place and stuff. And it is a whole thing on its own.
Yeah.
And so I can understand, because your body's still trying to learn how to do things. And so yours would have been like extra work because your body's basically still in training, mm-hmm. trying to teach itself that these are what your glands are supposed to do and produce and whatnot. And that's just a whole nother thing.
Well, and it was so weird because I could still like squirt milk out of my boob like a year after I stopped pumping.
Right.
And I asked my gynecologist about it because I was like, hey man, is this normal? Like, I didn't have this with my first kid when I stopped. And he said that it could be from the brain trauma. Like, it could be my pituitary gland just hasn't
right.
caught up to everything yet.
Right. That's very true.
Oh, okay.
And that's that. Yeah. And that's part of it because, you know, your pituitary gland controls so many mm-hmm. different functions and hormones and things in your body. And so temperature regulation, hunger, whether you're starving all the time or not hungry, all your hormone production. So even your periods can be like really screwed up. Yeah. Your breast milk is screwed up. Even people that have like a pituitary tumor later, you can start producing breast milk, you know, at 70 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like your body's been through so much trauma and your brain was just like on hyper overload. And it's like basically short circuiting because it's like trying to learn, but like these chemicals are really high right now, and the ones we need to balance it are not quite there, or they're missing. And so you're like peeing yourself, you're pooping yourself, you're like burning alive, or you're freezing cold, or you know,
or freezing while you're burning.
Exactly. Or like super emotional, and you're crying one minute and you're angry the next minute, and like everything is short circuiting and your body's like, beep boop. So let me ask you, how long did all of this take with the therapy and stuff before you felt even a fraction of what you did before the accident?
Honestly, I didn't start to feel like myself again until this summer.
Right.
And this September was 2 years. So I would say almost 2 years.
So how did you find us?
I don't even remember. I started, so I'm so new to all of this. I'm like a little baby, baby truther kind of. It all started on the first lockdown. One of my friends started sharing like keywords and videos, and she was like, look up Pizzagate, look up Adrenochrome. And I was like, what? So I looked it up, and I remember the first time I started this video, and they were talking about Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, nah, this is bullshit, whatever. And because I was like, I love Tom Hanks. Forrest Gump is my favorite movie. Don't talk bad about my Hanks, right? Well, a few months later, after George Floyd and all like stuff was just going crazy, I was like, I'm gonna look back into this again. I'm questioning everything right now. Let's do some research. And so I just kind of jumped in the rabbit hole, and I haven't come out really. I don't remember how I found the No Mercy podcast. I just randomly came upon it and I listened to it. And you were actually on the first episode I listened to. And I was like, I know, I was like, these people are fun. Like, sometimes Tommy, I'm like, damn. But I love it. And I got onto the Discord whenever, you know, that came out after all of his bans. And I've been lurking more so than commenting, you know what I mean? Just reading stuff, or I'll like stuff or comment here and there. And then I listened to VLAN and Mix. Mick is no longer a Negative Nancy episode.
And, right.
I loved that when my husband came in, and he was, I knew that he was military, but I hadn't quite learned which branch yet. And my husband came in, he was like, I usually don't hear this kind of talk unless I'm in uniform. Like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm pretty sure this dude is Army. And then the episode came, I finally found your podcast, and I listened to the episode with VLAN. And that's kind of the short long of it, of how it all came back around.
Yeah, and I'm very glad that you did listen and that you did reach out, because holy cow, like I can't even tell people like enough like of how much of a miracle it is that you are here today. Number one, that you're able to even speak to me. Mm-hmm. And number two, that you can actually walk and function now.
Yeah.
Now tell me what your daily life is like. Is there anything that you can't do, or are there things that are just super hard?
Yeah. I mean, like we've kind of touched on, everything itself is different now. My voice a little bit different from before and all of that. But I can do pretty much everything around the house. I can't do a lot of the, you know, bend over and pick up stuff because my balance is off. But I got one of those grabbers that you see.
Right. Those are amazing. I love those.
I've got one of those and I pick up my kids' toys or laundry that they leave on the floor with that. Whenever I left the rehab hospital and came home, I still couldn't really use my arms. So, like, those were the last thing that came back was the function of my arms. Mm-hmm. So I could, you know, walk with assistance and whatnot, but I couldn't grab stuff or hug my kids or, you know, that sort of thing. But day to day, I get up and get my daughter on the bus to go to school. And then depending on what day it is, I go to physical therapy or I go to the gym, and then I come home and I try and do some stuff. There are still like certain dishes that I can't get down or put away by myself because it's too tall or too heavy.
I have that problem too, but just because I'm too goddamn short to reach a lot of things.
Oh yeah. I'm 5'2".
So, me too.
Yeah. So I understand the wheelchair.
They make cabinets with top shelves for giants. Yes, they do.
Yes. So
cabinets. Think about the cabinets over the like the microwave or the refrigerator. What is the purpose of that?
I don't know.
Honestly,
never need.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, go ahead. Fine. We've already planned. So we settled with the insurance and all of that from the accident. We were going to go after the other driver as well, but he's dead now. So I don't know how he died, but he died. And then his fiance died 6 weeks later. And it was at the beginning of the year last year. So I was like, maybe it was the Rona. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we settled with the insurance. We got that money. We put it away. We would like to get some land and build a house. Mm-hmm. And we've already decided that in that house, in the kitchen, we're going to get the shelves that you can pull down, like out and down, so that I'm not always like, hey, babe, can you come get this for me?
I know. My husband, he's on constant call duty.
Yeah. It is 24/7. Like I joke that I'm the third kid now. Yeah, now. But
wipe my nose, wipe my butt.
Right. Yeah. He's had to wipe my butt. He's had to do all sorts of things that we hoped would never have to happen.
That's how you know that you have somebody who truly, truly loves you.
Absolutely.
When they are willing to wipe your butt and do the gross things.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
He has been nothing short of amazing. It's so funny. We've been together since I was 16. Mm-hmm. I am 31 now. We've been together 15 years.
And, that's amazing.
You know, some people don't find a person that's good ever in their life. And I found one that was pretty great pretty early. So I'm very, very lucky. And he's a great dad and doesn't ever complain.
You're lucky on so many fronts and again, like an absolutely beautiful miracle because you learned how to do everything again. Mm-hmm. Now, you sent me a picture today and I was floored. What did you do 3 months after you got out of the hospital for your husband?
They had a special ceremony for him because the day after his accident was his class's graduation, mm-hmm. and he obviously couldn't make it. So they had a graduation for him, and I pinned his new rank on him.
3 months, people. Yeah. 3 months after having to go through surgeries, having all of these injuries, having to teach herself to speak, to walk, to use her arms, her legs, literally everything, through sheer determination and by the grace of God and holy crap, so many prayers that she was able to do this and share in that. And I don't know. You are an amazing person.
Thank you.
And I hope when you're comfortable that you start getting involved a little bit more and let the community know you better, because you're phenomenal. You seriously are.
Thank you so much.
And I have so much love for you and respect for you. And I'm so grateful again that you decided to come on with me today. So where can people find you at?
I am pretty active on my Instagram. And that is just at Tara M. Vogel, and it's all spelled funny. It's just TeraMVogl. And then my Twitter is actually the same handle.
Okay. So I want people to make sure that they follow you. And our community is very supportive and very loving and very unconditionally friendship when you make those connections with people. Mm-hmm. And I will always be connected to you now you're stuck with me. And then I even found out she's a fellow Hoosier. Thank you very much, Hoosier State. Whoop, whoop. Even though I don't miss the snow and ice. But I just want to say again, thank you so much for coming on here today. First guest of the whole entire 2021, which is going to prove to be a very interesting year for all of us.
I think that's an understatement. This year is going to be wild.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of stuff to report on. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of interesting new stories, definitely. So going to keep those up. So make sure you follow Tara at Tara, T-E-R-A-M, Vogel, V-O-G-L, mm-hmm. Instagram and Twitter. So make sure you do that. Make sure you follow the4deep.com. We are always there if the chat ever goes down. You can always find the new one there. Make sure you follow No Mercy. And of course, as always, like, subscribe, download, and follow Deplorable Nation. I'm going to be in DC starting on Monday. So Team Janet, I'm going to be there letting you guys know, hopefully get some good interviews of things that are going on and hobnob with some big people. Okay. I'm excited about that. Thank you again to V. Lynn, Mick, and all the rest of the Gilded chat who set that up for the funding for me. I love you. I appreciate you so much. Thank you to everybody in the Discord chat for 4Deep. I love y'all very much. And you can follow me on Instagram at Deplorable Janet. Follow me on Twitter at No, K-N-O-W, Janet. Second account. Always the best. Anyways, for me and for Tara, thank you so much again for joining me today and for sharing your story. And God bless you. And in this new year, I wish you and your husband and your kids and your entire family the absolute best and many blessings for many years to come.
Thank you so much. You too.
You're very welcome. So we'll see you next week. Have a good one.